Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Current Issues. I'm your host, Hisham Tilawi, along with my good friend Mark Glynn, reporter for the American Free Press. Lots of stories to talk about today. We're going to concentrate a little bit on the Palestinian-Israeli issue, since we do have a peace conference of some sort scheduled. But maybe some of you don't know how did this story between the Palestinians and the Israelis get started. Well, let's just go back to 1917. We will be which basically it was a promise from the British government given to Lord Rothschild by Balfour. And it is known as the Balfour Promise, which is promised the Jews the establishment of a Jewish home in Palestine. As a matter of fact, the original wordings was to establish a Jewish state in Palestine, and there was a lot of problems. Believe it or not, the objection came from the Jews themselves. The Balfour Promise came out. Many Jews did not like it because they saw that this will change their status, because not everybody wanted to go and have a home for the Jews in Palestine. They were doing pretty good in Europe. We are speaking of 1917. So at that time, they were doing pretty good. They did not want to go to a poor, undeveloped country to establish a Jewish state. But the wordings then changed to having a Jewish home. Well, we'll talk about this because the 90th anniversary is coming up on November 2nd for this. This is what started all the problems that we are seeing in the world. So what else is going on in the world? Well, Chavez, he said that Bush needs to go to the nut house. Of course, Chavez probably would not be the only one who will be saying that. And of course, let's see, we have Mark with us. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Dr. Tilawi.
So, Mark, you know, I have a lot of people actually wrote me about Mona. Remember Mona, the lady who called the show, I think it was last week?
Yes, one of the white women who saved the conference.
Right. And she said something about that the Middle Easterners took over the conference.
Exactly.
I guess she was talking about me and you. I see we have the break coming up, so we'll catch this after the break. We're not going to speak a lot on this, but some people did write me, and I guess we just need to touch on that one. We'll be right back.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I live. Look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm your host, Hisham Tilawi, along with Mark Glenn. Mark, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this. I mean, I just have like one comment to make on the call that Mona made to you in the second hour when I wasn't there. You know, I don't have a problem with people who want to preserve their heritage, regardless of who they are. I am all for it. I don't care who they are, what they are. I will always be an advocate for people who want to preserve their heritage and their identity. But I can't stand separatists. I can't stand people who want to separate us along these lines, especially if this woman was at the No More Wars for Israel conference. Now, what is shocking here is why was this woman there? This was a No More Wars for Israel conference because we as Americans, we came as black, white, Muslims, Christians, Jews. We came from all over the country. We came from different parts of even the world because we all understand that these wars that the United States is taking on is mainly for Israel. And, you know, the proof of that is out there. People can go and see and research this fact and this matter that these wars are for Israel. So we did not come as a to basically brag about our identities if we were if I was a Palestinian or an Arab. I did not see color when I was in California. I did not see people of different colors. I saw only one color. I saw only one particular agenda, which is no more wars for Israel. And here in Mona speaking, you would think we were in a it's like, what does white women have anything to do with being part of that conference? But that's the part that I'm having a hard time understanding. Maybe you can shed some light on that, Mark.
Well, as you know, Hashem, we had a controversy surrounding this very issue a few weeks before the conference, when I made everyone who was scheduled to speak understand that we had a limited agenda, that we weren't going to cover everything, we weren't going to get into any white rights issues or anything like that. Again, I agree with you, not because these things are not important. Everybody has a right to preserve and to promote their heritage. That's fine. But I did say that we have to remain on point. And so, as we know, with what took place on Sunday, 2 weeks ago, a certain faction of people who did want to make that conference all about how horrible it is to be a white person in America today, they did go to that venue on Sunday. And this was the reason why we were forced to issue an official statement from us saying that the conference actually ended Saturday night. The No More Wars for Israel conference actually ended Saturday night. This was something obviously we did not want to do, but in the interest of making sure that at least officially that people understood where we stood on this issue, we were forced to do this. But again,
I guess
again,
the lesson we learned that, you know, we do need to coordinate and we do need to network with people who share the same thoughts with us about Israel. But I guess next time we need to make clear that none of the participants should be coming in with his own personal agenda. Because we had one agenda, which is no more wars for Israel. And I guess, you know, what we learned is if you go in to invite somebody, they need to understand, don't bring your own agenda, because the only way we're going to be able to make a dent in this beast is if we all work together. Now, we all can't be thinking the same way and on the same wavelength, but at least we meet in that particular area and in that particular on that one agenda, which is the no more wars for Israel. So leave everything at home. Don't bring it and mess up and spoil the whole event just because you want to introduce your own agenda, which is, you know, I'm not saying that it was a wrong agenda or right agenda. It was just not the place for it. Mark, I'm going to go to the phones. We have Daniel from British Columbia. Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, hi, Hashem. Good to talk to you.
Hi.
I just wanted to go
Thank
back
you.
To your earlier statement about the Balfour Declaration, that
yes.
you missed a most salient point about the Declaration. You have to remember that in 1917, Britain was up against the ropes, that they needed help desperately. Now, have you read the report from Benjamin Friedman about how the Zionists went to the British, to Balfour, and said, look, we will bring America into the war on your side if you promise to create a Jewish state for us in Palestine. And Benjamin Friedman was there. He was actually part of the negotiations. Are you ignorant of that aspect?
Yeah. You're right. As a matter of fact, Daniel, I'm glad you kind of took us away from the topic we were talking about, because I didn't want to spend a lot of time on that. So I thank you for that. But we have not yet started discussing the Balfour Declaration. I just wanted to give people a heads up on what today's topic would be. But you're bringing up an excellent point, because at that time, England needed Jewish support. And
they needed American
support. Well,
they needed American
needed
support.
The Jewish support.
The Jews could deliver
needed
it.
Jewish support to get the American support.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. And don't forget that Lloyd George himself wrote in his memoirs that this is exactly what the reason was. Let me see if I can. Let's see the Belfort. This is what George Lloyd George wrote. The Belfort Declaration represented the convinced policy of all parties in our country and also in America. But the launching of it in 1917 was due, as I have said, to propagandist reasons, which is at that time, that's when they needed the American support. And that's why, now remember, the Jews, even the Jews in the British government at that time, they opposed to the Balfour Declaration because they saw it as a declaration that will change their status, the Jewish status in Europe.
Not the Zionists, though. They were very much in favor of it.
Not the Zionists. No, not the Zionists.
Right.
Because you have to remember, at that time, in 1917, the Zionists did not have a lot of Jewish support. At that time, a lot of Jews were opposing. And this is a fact that people normally, they forget that the Jews did not support the Zionists in the beginning. The Jewish support for the Zionists came afterwards, I would say like in the 1930s, that's when you had a lot of Jewish support from all over the world being channeled into the Zionist movement. But before that, the Zionists had a lot of oppositions from the Jews themselves.
Oh, yeah. But the wealthy Jews, the financiers, Bernard Baruch, I think it is, and others, they had the power. But anyway, interesting. Okay, I'm glad. I just wanted to make sure that the whole history was brought out. And also, you have to wonder, you know, when I've heard for years Hitler saying, oh, you know, the Jews sold out Germany. And I thought, oh, you know, this is absurd. You know, it's just Nazi propaganda. But then when you read Benjamin Friedman and the Balfour Declaration, you know, maybe he was aware of that that aspect when he was making those accusations.
Right, right.
Huh?
Thank you, Daniel.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. Thanks for the call. Mark.
Yes, sir.
You still with me? Okay.
I'm always.
Let's go ahead and jump into because this actually what started the whole issue with the what brought the Jews to Palestine, that with Arthur Balfour, who was the foreign secretary at that time, very much promised the Jews a homeland in Palestine. What can you tell us about the significance of the Balfour Declaration?
Well, as you and I were talking about last night, Hashem, a lot of people who fancy themselves to be experts or commentators on the whole issue of the colonization of Palestine and all the rest of that, one of the things I have noticed in listening to them is that a lot of them will try to bring up as a valid argument, they'll say, you know, that the Balfour Declaration wasn't being strictly followed because in the declaration it said it made provisions for the non-Jewish community in Palestine that they would not be discriminated against or in any way that they would lose their political rights or whatever. And, you know, a lot of people will seize on this and they'll say, see, you know, they didn't follow the Balfour Declaration to the letter, and that's why we find ourselves in the mess that we're in today, because these quote-unquote non-Jewish communities are being persecuted again. That in itself is a flawed argument because of the fact that even if they hadn't been discriminated against, these Palestinians, it still is an invasion.
Very good, Mark. We'll catch this after the break. We'll be right back.
Our
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. And today, me and Mark Glenn, we are discussing the history of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict in regards to how did it start. And on November 2nd, it will be the 90th anniversary, that is 90 years ago, when the British issued what is known as Balfour Declaration. This particular declaration, it went out in 1917 in the form of an official letter from the British Foreign Office, headed at that time by Arthur Balfour, who was the Foreign Secretary. And this letter went to Lord Rothschild, who was seen as the representative of the Jewish people at that time. Now, the letter stated that the British government viewed with favor the establishment in Palestine of a national home for the Jewish people and will use their best endeavors to facilitate the achievement of this object. It being clearly understood that nothing shall be done which may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities in Palestine. And this is what, Mark, this is what you were referring to, that particular sentence, that it was in it. And I think the position that people need to understand that at that time, you see, referring to the Arabs, Christians, and Muslims as being non-Jewish communities in Palestine, it gives you the impression that these are very small communities, as if the Jewish community was much larger, even though it did not even exist at that time in Palestine, and nothing to speak of. But yet they will put that nothing will may prejudice the civil and religious rights of existing non-Jewish communities. How in the world were they going to achieve that when you go to a country that is already populated by Muslims and Christians and promise it to somebody else who's not even there yet? And remember, 1917, at that time, Palestine was still part of the Ottoman Empire. They have not conquered the British and the French or the Allies in the First World War. They have not defeated the Ottoman Empire yet at that time when this particular promise was made. So referring to your comment, which a lot of people say, oh, hell, look, the Balfour Declaration says that they should not mess with the non-Jewish communities in Palestine. But they should read it as, this is wrong from the beginning. The whole declaration should be, this is what started the whole thing. It's an illegal declaration. England did not have the right to promise something that it did not own to somebody else. That's what it boils down to.
This may sound like it is going off topic a little bit, Hashem. But, you know, we have to ask ourselves the question, why the Zionists would have picked England and then later America as their host countries in pushing this Zionist plan forward. And unfortunately, I think the Zionists were very clever in this regard. They looked back at England's history, and in particular, England's history in colonizing other countries, starting with Ireland, for example, and the brutal methods that the English used in trying to subjugate the Irish, particularly after Henry VIII broke away from the Catholic Church. And so Ireland was viewed as a rival, given the fact that she was Catholic. And then, of course, the entire colonization project in North America and the way that the Native Americans or American Indians, whatever word you want to use, the way that they were treated. They were just pushed off their land without, and they made it all look very legal. The Balfour Declaration in many ways resembles a lot of the charters that were drawn up by joint venture capitalist companies, such as the Virginia Company and others, where they basically just took these men and they said, here, go over here and colonize this area, dig up the gold or whatever it is that you can find, whatever kind of natural resources you can find, and send it back to us. So, and I think that this is the reason why the Zionists chose England, because they said, you know, the English have a history of doing the very same thing that we are proposing to do in Palestine, and so we're not going to run into much moral or political opposition to it, because all we have to do if we get any kind of complaining on the part of the English is to say, listen, you did the same thing yourself all throughout the world. All we're doing is repeating what you have done yourself. So I think that is an important factor that we have to keep in mind, is that they knew that they had a moral foundation, I guess, for lack of a better word, in English and in American history for doing this, and this is the reason why they chose these countries.
Very good. Tell you what, don't want to keep Byron Holden on the phone. Byron from Canada, you're up. Go ahead.
Hi. Hey, I want to ask you a question.
Byron, hold on, because I hear the music coming up, so we'll come back to you right after the break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special. And your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are discussing the Palestinian history, and especially the Balfour Declaration, since November 2nd will be the 90th anniversary of this declaration and how important this declaration was in the establishment of Israel as a Jewish state. Byron, sorry, the break kind of cut you off there. You were saying?
Yeah, great show as usual. Hey, I'm wondering. I've heard Bill Maher, I've heard other people talk about the Middle East and saying like, Palestine was, there was never a country called Palestine. And I forget what it was called. I mean, I think the word Palestine, but it was never a real country or a state of Palestine. And same with the other Middle Eastern countries in there that they're just are artificially made. But we know, at least I believe what I've read is true, that these people have been there for, if not hundreds, thousands of years there. So what actually, if you were to draw up that whole Middle Eastern area again, like what country, what would they be called? What would be the size of the countries and, you know, stuff like that? And the other question I was going to ask you, I was reading in a Washington report here a few years ago, some Israeli guy went down to, I think it was Peru, and he brought 100 Indians that was from Peru, brought him to Israel, converted him over to the Judea. And just within a matter of a couple weeks, or the conversion was completed, and I think they put him actually in the area where the Arabs were kind of to be soldiers in that area. If he was able to do a DNA test, how many Israelis that's over there now would there be, do you think, that could actually be from the blood of Abraham? And that's my two questions, and I'll hang up and I'll listen to you.
Okay, I appreciate it. Okay, well, let's take the second question first. If you were to do a DNA of who the Israelis, if the Israelis who are in Israel right now go back into the bloodline of Abraham, I would say you take out everyone who came from Europe, who converted to Judaism. You take all these people out, you will be left with about, I would say, 8 to 10%. And some people say it might be as 15%, which is the Jews who came from the Arab countries. And if you take those Jews who came from the Arab countries, you would say, well, definitely some of them may have not came from Palestine itself. Maybe they converted into Judaism in those Arab countries. So you want to take those out. You will end up with more Palestinians, Arab, Muslim, and Christians, Palestinians, with Abraham's DNA than any Jews who is living in Palestine right now, or in Israel, as it's called now. Because most of the Jews who came to Israel came from countries as Europe, Ethiopia, as African countries. These people do not have anything to do with Abraham's DNA. But the Palestinians, see, this is the irony in this whole thing. This is the sadness in this whole thing. And if Christians wants to go down to what the Bible says, that it said to the seeds of Abraham, the Palestinians are the seeds of Abraham. It is not the Jews of today who are the seeds of Abraham. Now, let's go back to the first question. And Mark, I'll let you comment on that. But let's catch his first question. There were no countries, none, that you see in the Middle East now that actually was a state before World War One. For instance, there was no such a thing as Saudi Arabia. No, there was no such a thing as Qatar, Bahrain, Kuwait, Iraq, Syria. All these countries were not individual states. They were part, and for years and years and years, for probably about 1,000 years, they were part of what was known as the Muslim Empire. Now, this could be the Ottoman Empire, it could be the Umayyads, it could be whoever the Muslims. Now, we have to remember, Islam came about in about 600 AD, and from there, it started spreading at first in that area, which is basically the Middle East. Those countries that we see now, like, for instance, Iraq was known as Mesopotamia. Syria was known as Syria, but it included Syria, Lebanon, the region that was known at that time as Palestine, which was like a region that was known as Palestine. And also you have what is known today as Jordan. Now, in 1916, the British, he was working with the Foreign Office. His name is Sykes, S-Y-K-E-S, I believe. And basically at that time, the British and the French knew that it was only a matter of time before the Ottoman Empire will be removed from power. As a matter of fact, the declaration went out on November 2nd, 1917, and about a month and 6 days after that, on December 8th, 1917, the Ottoman forces left Jerusalem. So now, with what that Sykes-Picot agreement, which is the British and the French, the last name is Picot, P-I-C-O-T. Is the he used to be the French ambassador to Beirut at one time, to Lebanon. And what these people had done, they had taken a map of that area and basically took a pencil and started dividing these regions. Now, some of these regions were already known for what they are known today as a state. For instance, they have taken Iraq. It was not known as Iraq, but they divided. Now, that region was known as Iraq, but the whole region was known as Mesopotamia. So Iraq was carved out of that region, and in Iraq, that's why you have people like Sunnis and Shiites, Arabs and Kurds. They have taken the pen also and carved out Syria, Lebanon, Palestine. These regions were known as such, but they were not independent states because they were under, they were like regions in the Ottoman Empire. Even though people, just like if you take, let's say, the state of Texas. Well, Texas is not a sovereign country, but yet Texas is there. And if it becomes a sovereign country, then it will be the country of Texas. That does not mean that Texans did not live in Texas all these years and did not have their own governments there, because the Palestine government was there before the establishment of Israel. You know, remember Herbert Samuel was the British ruler over Palestine who, when England and France divided the Ottoman Empire between amongst them, they sent no one but Herbert Samuel, who is a Zionist Jew, to rule over. He was the British ruler in Palestine, and he was very much looking forward to the establishment of a Jewish state in Palestine. Now, just to summarize what I'm saying, where did these countries come from? Those are the product or the byproduct of the division that the British and the French basically took a pencil and went through the map and carved out all these countries so it will be easier for them to control. If they would have left the Arab-speaking countries or Arab-speaking regions unite together, it would have been another empire that the British and the French did not want to see there. So they divided all the Arab countries into these small chunks. And, of course, Palestine was reserved for the Jews. Everything else was divided and given independence later on. And as a matter of fact, the promise between the Arabs and the British was if the Arabs helped the British to defeat the Ottoman forces. By the way, when the British army went into Jerusalem and went into Palestine, they were received well by the Palestinians at that time, because as a matter of fact, the Palestinians have helped the Ottomans, have helped fight the Ottomans with the British. So when the British army came to Palestine, the Ottoman Empire, the Ottoman forces were already out. So what happened is the British promised the Arabs that they will give them independent, but at the same time, they promised the same piece of land to the Jews. They very much, in other words, they screwed up the Palestinians on their promise, because they promised the Arabs in Palestine that they will have their own independent state, but yet they were secretly promising the Jews that same piece of land for them. I hope this answered the question. But not having a Palestinian state before, in the way we know a state means, or a country or an independent country, I can tell you none of the Arab countries were independent before 1917, because they were part of one big country, which is the Ottoman Empire. Mark?
Yeah, and one thing I think that needs to be mentioned as well, Hashem, is that when this deal was made with the Arabs, that they would have their independence and all the rest of that stuff, they were very warm to this. They were very warm to, because you have to remember, at this time, the Ottoman Empire was referred to as the sick man of Europe, because it was very backwards in terms of industry, in terms of finance, and all the rest of this stuff. And so the Arabs, you know, they're not stupid people, and they understand that they needed to come online with the rest of the world. They needed to catch up with the rest of the world, because history has shown over and over again that nature abhors a vacuum, and a weak state invites invasion from a more powerful state. So the Arabs were very warm to this relationship with the West. They were very excited over the idea of modernizing their societies of in terms of industry and finance and all the rest of that. So this idea that that the Arabs were this uncontrollable anti-Western, anti-Christian mob of people, and they just couldn't be tamed and couldn't be ruled, nothing could be further from the truth. They were very excited over the idea of forging new economic, industrial, and political ties with the West. And basically, we threw all of that away by double dealing with them, promising them all of these things, and then carving out this area that was become Israel. And of course, the history of the last century of the brutality and the oppression that has been waged against these people, it's perfectly understandable why they hate us in the manner that they do today.
Well, definitely. I mean, you're right, Mark, when you say that the Palestinians and the Arabs had forged this partnership with the West and with the Christian West to defeat the Ottoman Empire that they felt had very much oppressed them. And they had, everyone remembers Lawrence of Arabia. There's a lot of myth in the movie, but it very much gives you the idea that, yes, the Arabs and the British had forged a partnership to kick out and defeat the Ottomans, the Turks, from the Arab world. And they were promised that once that is taken place, that the Arab-speaking regions, or actually peoples, that's what it said, Arab-speaking peoples will be able to receive their independence and have their own states, independent states, but that did not happen. And that's exactly why. So, the argument, because some people will say, oh, well, tell me when there was ever a Palestinian state. Well, the region was there. The people were there, just like in any other part of the world, and of that particular part of the world. These people were under the Ottoman Empire, and before them they were under other empires and civilizations, but that does not mean that these people, because those people are part of the whole. You can't, well, where the heck did the Palestinians come from? You know, these people have lived on the land for thousands of years. They went from being Muslims, from being Jews actually, to Christians, to Muslims. And that's the fact that people need to understand, that the Palestinians of today, they have been living on that land for thousands of years. You know, when Abraham migrated from Mesopotamia, which is Iraq, to Palestine, it's not that he went into a land that did not have people in it. You know, people who lived in Palestine, there was about, I think, 17 of them mentioned in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know, the Hittites, the Canaanites, the many people are mentioned in the Bible. So Palestine was not a vacant land when Abraham settled in Palestine.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep in mind, Hisham, of course, that this is misinformation that the Zionists have used for a century now to justify what they have done to these innocent people. You know, I actually read something recently where the Zionists were claiming that the Palestinians, that the only reason that they came to Palestine was so that they could live off of the wealth and all of the hard work that the Jews put into building up this country, and that before that, that they never existed. Of course, we know some of the infamous quotes, such as the Palestine was a land for people without land, and that the Palestinians never existed. This is just another attempt at rewriting history to cover up literally what are millions and millions of crimes against these innocent people. And of course, the thing that we really do need to bring full circle in this whole discussion with them is that now this problem that began 90 years ago with one letter that was circulated amongst these British elite. This is the reason why we have tens of thousands of American soldiers now either dead or maimed for life, why there are 2 million dead Iraqis now over the course of the last 17 years, and why we're ramping up and preparing for this war against Iran, all because of this double dealing and this wound that has not closed or healed itself during the course of this century. And this is something that we have got to keep in mind, particularly here in the United States, when we have to listen to this daily propaganda campaign of blaming the Arabs and the Muslims for all of the problems. This problem began a long time ago. It wasn't the Palestinians or the Arabs who were invading Europe and causing all kinds of trouble. We have to keep that in mind when we're affixing blame for this problem and who's responsible for it.
Very good. We'll take this after the break. So we will be right back and we'll continue this discussion.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we are discussing the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. We are talking in particular about the promise that was given by the British to the Jews of establishing a homeland for the Jews in Palestine. Mark, what I would like, you know, you mentioned like the people in Palestine, and you know, let me just, like, how many Jews did Palestine have, let's say, before 1917? Now, the Jews started, of course, the Zionist organization was established in the late 1890s, I believe, or 1889, and what happened is they started a program sending Jews to live in Palestine. So they started going on a very small scale, and by 1900, they were less than 1% of the population. Now remember, at that time, the Ottoman Empire had control of that area. And by 1914, this is like 3 years before the, this is what we're talking about when we're talking about the non-Jewish communities in Palestine. In 1914, there were only 7.6% Jews in the country. By 1922, there were 11%. When when the country was established, the Jews in Palestine were 48%. This is what England had done when they took over and ruled Palestine. And by the way, just to mention one thing, that the Palestinians were represented in the Ottoman parliament in Istanbul, in Turkey. It's just like different states, different members of parliament, and the Palestinians were represented in that parliament, in the Ottoman Empire parliament, you know, the Congress of the Ottoman Empire. So the Palestinians had representation in that body. But the point that I would like to make is before the promise that was made, and remember on December 8th, the British Army took over, December 8th, 1917, the British Army took over the land. There were 9% Jews in 1917 in Palestine. By the time the State of Israel was established in 1948, there were 48% Jews in Palestine compared to the Arabs. So you see the hundreds of thousands of Jewish immigrants that illegally England allowed to go to Palestine and establish. And what happened, by the way, in Palestine at a time in 1917, at a time when there were only 9% of people of Jews in Palestine, Herbert Samuel made Hebrew. Looks like we're out of time. But he made Hebrew the official language. We'll pick this up in the second hour. So, ladies and gentlemen, we will be right back.
With three